Good afternoon. It's Majid Nawaz here on LBC. Now, as I say, before the break, we did mention that joining us will be Professor Norman Fenton, Professor of Risk Information at Risk Information Management at Queen Mary University, London. And the reason we're interested in speaking to Professor Fenton is because a study has been done at Queen Mary's that it confirms the trends I've been raising on this show, but actually significant because this is coming from Queen Mary University. And the very specific point in the thread by Professor Fenton's colleague, Professor Martin Neal from Queen Mary's, is point 11. After our offset adjustment for vaccines is talking about, we observe no significant benefit of the vaccines in the short term. They appear to expose people to an increased mortality in line with what we know about immune exposure or pre-infection risks. What I'd like to do is have Professor Fenton himself explain this latest research that they've done and explain what it means for all of us. So, Professor Norman Fenton, welcome and thank you for joining us.
Hi, thanks. Yes, I mean, our team spent, you know, a lot of time analysing publicly available data on COVID. And we're continually finding, actually, that the official messages you hear about both the scale of the problem and the effectiveness of interventions, especially, you know, now vaccines, are massively exaggerated. So when it comes to the vaccine, ultimately, the only truly objective way to evaluate its overall risk-benefit is to compare the all-cause mortality for the vaccinated against the unvaccinated. So, I mean, so in crude terms, if the virus is as dangerous as claimed and the vaccine is as effective as claimed, then we should by now have data confirming that the vaccine is saving a lot more lives than it's killing. So, basically, the Office of National Statistics have been publishing data on the England mortality of vaccinated against unvaccinated. And we've done this detailed analysis of their most recent report. So my colleague, that's what my colleague Martin Neal was tweeting about. Now, interestingly, superficially, when you look at the data there, it actually suggests some support for vaccine effectiveness, at least in the older age groups. There's some doubt about the younger age group because it's too wide and it was too sort of confounded by age. But we found so many inconsistencies and anomalies in the data that when you take account of the most obvious explanations for these, there really is no reliable evidence that the vaccines reduce all-cause mortality. In fact, if you take account of the fact that the newly vaccinated people who die are likely being misclassified as unvaccinated, because that's the most likely explanation for the strange things in the data, then you get to the conclusion that the vaccines don't seem to reduce all-cause mortality, but rather produce a genuine spike in all-cause mortality shortly after vaccination. So I'm happy to talk about what the anomalies in the data are, which lead to this.
So I'd like to come to that, but just to clarify what you've said that the vaccines, the evidence is indicating a spike in all-cause mortality after vaccination.
Yeah, it occurs shortly after the initial big rollout of the vaccination program in each of the different age groups. So it's crucial to separate it into the different age groups because obviously, you know, the older age, you can't lump them all together because otherwise you're sort of confounding, you've got this age confounder because older people are much more likely to be vaccinated and also much more likely to die anyway.
So you've adjusted it. That's great. And obviously you would know as Professor of Risk Information Management how to adjust data and read statistics correctly. This spike in all-cause mortality, what I find fascinating, Professor Fenton, is that the media's reporting the exact opposite of what you've just said. And I've read the thread. The thread does give some reasons for why that may be. And that's to your point about the anomalies in the data. Could you explain what these anomalies are and why people are therefore drawing the opposite conclusion that you and your colleague in Queen Mary's University have come to?
Yes, so first of all, the data appears to show a lower non-COVID mortality rate. That's people dying of things other than COVID.
After vaccination.
Well, no, hang on a second. It appears to show that it's lower. People who are unvaccinated,
right,
are more likely to die of non-COVID from non-COVID, other reasons. Because the data tells you whether people have died, the deaths are due to COVID related or not. And so you've got this weird thing where you've got a lower non-COVID mortality rate for the vaccinated compared to the unvaccinated. And also, each age group the unvaccinated mortality rate peaks at the same time as the vaccine rollout peaks for that age group. And then it falls and closes on the vaccinated. It's not natural, because it would mean that we've got a vaccine whose recipients are suffering fewer non-COVID deaths and hence are benefiting from improved mortality. And it can't also be right, because if you look at the mortality rates, those mortality rates, they're completely different from historical norms that we find in mortality life tables. So what we're seeing in the data is that the unvaccinated seem to be dying after not getting the first dose. And the single dose are dying after not getting the second dose. And of course, the simple explanation for why you see such a pattern is that the vaccinated who die within 14 days of vaccination are simply being categorized as unvaccinated. And there's a similar thing occurring after the second dose. And there are lots of other things as well, which you know the data, that there has to be adjustments.
Right. So let me pass that out. You're saying that what you found is that actually where there has been a death within 14 days of the first dose or 14 days of the second dose of the vaccine, that is being recorded as an unvaccinated death when actually it's within 14 days or the dose.
Exactly. Yeah, it's being miscategorized. And there's other completely weird things. Like, you find that the peaks in the COVID mortality data for the unvaccinated are actually inconsistent with the actual COVID wave. It's all about, you know, there are these peaks which are occurring, you know, in the unvaccinated at the time, you know, when the vaccination rollout, you know, is at its peak.
Right. Indicating that perhaps they've had a jab already and they're being classified as unvaccinated, but they've actually had a jab.
It's a misclassification problem, you know. And the thing is, whatever the explanations, you know, for the observed data, it's clearly both, you know, unreliable and misleading. I mean, we did consider socio-demographic and behavioural differences between vaccinated and unvaccinated, which might, you know, explain these data anomalies, but there was no evidence for that, right? So sort of by Occam's razor, you know, we believe that the most likely explanations are this system, you know, this systematic miscategorisation. And
if that miscategorization were to be corrected, if the miscategorization were to be corrected, if somebody dying within 14 days of the first jab or 14 days of the second jab were to be defined and categorized as dying after a vaccination or after a jab as opposed to dying unvaccinated, what would be then the correct conclusion for the public and media to draw about the vaccines?
But there's no evidence for their efficacy when it's measured by what we think is the only sensible way to measure it, all-cause mortality. And if anything, you know, there are these slight peaks at the beginning. We're not saying that's definitely caused by the vaccination, because it could well be that it's because the people who are vaccinated first in those initial rollouts are people who are, of course, naturally most at risk, you know. And so it's simply delaying what might have been inevitable death, you know, several months down the line. But the key thing is, there just is not the evidence for the efficacy in terms of this overall reduced all-cause mortality. And incidentally, nobody should actually be surprised about this if they're really looking at the data, because even in Pfizer's randomized controlled experiment, right, where now if you look at, but you know, there were 42,000 participants there, equally split between vaccinated and unvaccinated. And if you actually look at, you know, who's actually dying at the end of that? And it's now many months on, you're actually seeing, well, not many deaths overall, but there are slightly more deaths in the vaccinated. Not statistically more, but again, there's no evidence that the vaccine is reducing all-cause mortality.
Now, these are incredibly, incredibly significant and serious claims you're making from the data. Clearly, you've done the study. What do you want government politicians listening to this to do based on your latest research? And before we also get to that, is your research peer-reviewed, by the way?
No, we always, I mean, the funny thing is, when we first started doing research on this, we had no problems getting our work in peer-reviewed papers, because we weren't challenging the narrative. We were simply looking at things like infection rates and fatality rates and whether they were accurate and stuff like this. But as soon as it became clear that, you know, with the sort of mass testing of asymptomatic people, that the case, you know, that there was the potential for sort of false positives of asymptomatics was inflating case numbers and COVID, so-called hospitalization and deaths, we, as soon as we started raising those concerns, our work you know, started, as soon as we submitted it for publication, it was being rejected, you know, without review, something I've never had before happened. And so we put this up at the moment, you know, we put it up on, it's even difficult to get it up on sort of preprint servers, but this stuff is, we just publish it on, servers which, where you don't have to be reviewed. So.
Unsurprising.
We have to get it out there. That's how we get it out.
Yeah. And concerning the, what you'd like politicians listening to you and media voices hearing you to do, what would you say then, based on your research, what need, do they need to do in adjusting their messaging?
Well, they need to think carefully about what the whole cost benefit of the mass vaccination program is. I mean, we're seeing today there's news that in order to roll out the, you know, the booster jabs, that they're stopping, the checkups of the over seven, of all over 75s in the NHS. They're no longer going to get their routine health checks. Is that a fair, you know, is that a fair way to be distributing the, you know, the NHS money? Why should it all be going on these booster jabs, which we, again, there's no data, again, long, where's the long-term data, again, about the efficacy of these booster jabs? It just hasn't been done.
All right.
You know, so why is that where all the money is being spent in health?
Okay, Professor Norman Fenton, Professor of Risk Information Management at Queen Mary University.